Oh, yeah. I visit a lot of churches around this nation, and this is different. Actually, it really is different here. I got to tell you that. In fact, if I go to some of the more conservative, traditional churches, you know, sometimes I'm asked the question, can Christians dance? Well, after watching this today, some can and some can't. I'm done. It's rather obvious to me. I want you to, let's just take a moment. Let's stand with me for a moment. We're going to take a moment and pray. And just ask God to kind of bless this thing, whatever happened here, and the rest of the service. Bow your heads. God, we love you, and we just thank you for this time. And we are here to have fun, and we're here to have fun in you, and to have you teach us about having fun with, specifically today, our family. And how do we connect with our family in ways that I pray pay some long-term dividends. So it's in your name, Jesus, we pray, and in your name we ask these things, and we ask that you'll be here today. And Spirit, I pray you'll just be with all of us in the unique ways that each of us need to hear what we need to hear today. Communicate to each of us what needs to be done. In your name, Jesus, we pray, amen. Would you please be seated? A little over a month ago, I climbed into a small rickety plane with a pilot and four of us, and as we took off, we got to about 11 or 12,000 feet, and I jumped out the door with some guy strapped to my back, and we fell toward Earth about 120 miles an hour, did that free fall for about a minute. It was an unbelievable experience, and then he yanked the parachute, and we were jerked to about 10 miles an hour for the next 10 minutes as we drifted to Earth. And some people have asked me, why at 57 would you do such a stupid thing? Why would you want to do a skydive? Was it on your bucket list? And actually, it wasn't on my bucket list. I've never really wanted to skydive, but it was on my son's bucket list. He's 26, and ever since he was 18 years of age, he's wanted to go skydiving. So he got a half-off coupon. He says, Dad, let's go. You ready to go? And I said, yeah, I'll go with you, Colin. And I realized something. You know, this family connect time, spending time with family members in ways that they need it, never ends. It never ends. I've had it personified very clearly in my life. I grew up with a dad who really had a lot of fun. My mom and dad, we grew up in the Midwest here, just enjoyed. My dad was always wrestling with me, and, you know, I got my head put in manure on the farm, just all kinds of stuff, you know. But we had a lot of fun. But it was interesting, as he began to age, and my mom died about 13, 14 years ago, when she died, something happened, and my dad stopped spending time with us in fun. And I've watched him over the last 13, 14 years, and, you know, he's begun to become a grumpy old man. And I've realized that family time with each other isn't just for the family members, but there's a part of us that helps us too. And it wasn't just my dad, actually. If you look throughout the scriptures, you find an interesting pattern that happens. Just because one is a spiritual person, just because one goes to church or reads the Bible, doesn't necessarily mean they have good, what I call family skills, family relational skills. They may not know how to have fun with their family and or deal with their family issues. Eli, prophet in the Old Testament. Now, the prophet was the one who was supposed to speak the word of God to the people of God. And it's interesting. So, I mean, if anybody would know what God wanted, they would. And the funny thing for me is that there's this guy named Eli in 1 Samuel chapter 2. We're told he was a godly guy. But read this passage. Eli, who was very old, heard about everything his sons were doing to all of Israel and how they slept with the women who served at the entrance of the tent meeting. Eli, if you study his whole life, he never really connected with his family. And here we see, you know, as he's old, what's happening here? He doesn't even know how to deal with his kids. He doesn't know how to interact with his sons. And in such a way that, man, they screw up the whole situation, literally. And so what does God do? God says, Eli, you never learned how to connect with your family, your kids, your boys, specifically in this case. And so I'm going to bring another prophet on the scene. Another prophet comes on the scene. His name is Samuel. He follows Eli, actually. And Samuel, in chapter 8, a couple chapters later, he served God in the same way. But look at this thing. I mean, it's interesting. When Samuel grew old, he had appointed his sons as Israel's leaders. A little nepotism there, but that was okay. It was accepted at the time. And he says, and his first name of his firstborn was Joel, and the name of his second was Abijah. And they served at Beersheba. But his sons did not follow his ways. They turned aside from dishonest gain and accepted bribes and perverted justice. We see that Samuel followed a similar pattern that Eli did, and that he never really connected with his kids. Here are the two prophets, if you will, of the Old Testament, and they never connected with their kids. And it's not out of the ordinary, actually. It's another guy named David. One of the big guys. I mean, he's one of the Hall of Fame guys in the Old Testament. And he wrote 2/3 of the Psalms. King David is his name. And he was a creative guy, really a gifted leader. But if you study David's life, you see there's an interesting thing that he lacked. He lacked this ability to connect with his kids. We see it in an example. It's in 1 Samuel 13 and 14. It's an interesting example that spans about 7 years. And what happens is David had a couple wives. Now, we know that's not acceptable today. But anyways, he had a couple wives. More than two, but he had a few wives. And one of his sons from one of his wives, his name was Amnon. Amnon has a crunch kind of on one of the other daughters from one of the other wives, Tamar, and she keeps pushing him away, and finally he rapes her. He literally rapes her. And in that context, after he rapes her, she's been mourning and everything else, and David hears about this. But David does nothing for 2 years. 2 years, she's living with remorse, the daughter is. She's been raped by her half-brother, and her dad does nothing. Doesn't do anything to console her, doesn't do anything to deal with her. His son Amnon. So finally, he goes on so far that Absalom, who was Tamar's brother, her own brother, gets so angry that his dad's not doing anything, he literally goes and he kills his half-brother, Amnon. He kills him out of revenge. So he kills him. And so what does he do then? And he's scared to death because he's just killed his brother, so he thinks his dad's going to get him. So he takes off and flees the kingdom. David now, I mean, one of his sons has been murdered. And that one had raped his daughter, and the other one has left the kingdom, and he runs away. So what does David do? David does nothing to engage his family. He's too busy, man. He's running the country. He's fighting wars. He does nothing with his family. David, however, misses the son's relationship, Absalom. So finally, his own general, Joab, goes after David and says, David, he kind of tricks him and does some things, but he finally says, David, why don't you just invite Absalom, your son who's been away now for 3 years, why don't you invite him to come back into the kingdom? So what does David do? Yeah, Joab, you go do that. So Joab goes and gets Absalom in a faraway country, and he says, come on back home and live. Your father won't do anything against you or to punish you, so come on back. And so he comes back, and he moves into a house just down the street from David. It's his own son. So it's King David, and there's his son Absalom lives in the house. He lives in this house for 2 years. 2 years. David never engages his son Absalom. Doesn't even talk to him. He doesn't talk to him for 2 years. And finally Absalom says, Dad, I've been here 2 years. Why did you want me back? It's a sad story. I mean, here's David, a guy who's described as a man after God's own heart. He had a passion for God, but somehow that passion got blocked when it came to his family. And David lacked the skills, the family skills we're going to talk about today, on how to connect with his family. And see, David in his own life, like Eli and like Samuel, David dies. Kind of a lonely guy. His family's in shambles. And I struggled with, what do you call a message like today? Well, what do you entitle this time? And it's really about, I wanted to call it personal health and reconnecting time. But it's hard to talk about fart time. I mean, I couldn't spend the rest of the message talking about all this fart time. I spent fart time. It just didn't sound appropriate. So I've gone on to change the name to call it Family Connecting Time. And I want to talk today about family connecting time. And there's a passage, if you have your Bibles, if not, it's going to show up here. I want to read a passage out of Ephesians. And this is out of the New Testament. And Paul's dealing with the whole family context here, by the way. And he talks about husbands. He talks about husbands loving your wife like Christ loved the church. And he talks about wives loving and respecting their husbands. And then he says this verse in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. It says, fathers, and by the way, the literal of that word fathers can be parents. We're not really sure what's fathers or parents. But so it's either fathers or parents. Parents, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in training and instruction of the Lord. You know, Paul's dealing with a concept here that obviously was ignored by the three Old Testament heroes that I just talked about a moment ago. He's saying, you know, there's a time where you got to be able to engage with your kids. He's already talked about husbands and wives. So he says there's a family dynamic, a family system here that's a very important principle, and that's don't exasperate them, but in fact spend time with them. You can't train them. You can't train anyone without spending time with them. He says spend time with them in training and instruction. And what does that mean? Well, I know a lot of us here grew up in a culture maybe where we didn't receive a whole lot of family time, family connection time. But that's no reason why you can't spend time from this point forward. So I want to talk about family connection time. And for me, family connection time is time, I mean, it involves two things. It really involves two aspects. One is you have to spend family connection time for those who are in your family. It's good for them. But the second thing is it's good for you. Because I think as I've illustrated with the three people we've looked at, and my own father, when you pull away from the family, when you stop connecting with your family, something dies in your soul. And that's the first point I want to talk about this morning. The first point I want to talk about is that family connect time is essential for health and for wholeness. It really is. And it's not, the reason it's essential is because you cannot grow as an individual without connecting with some people very close that God's given you in your family. It's impossible. And yet, this is the interesting thing. It's all about life, by the way. The most important things in life are not urgent. And so it's easy for them to get pushed aside. In fact, the urgent things are fixing meal. What are we gonna have for dinner tonight? It's the email, it's doing the projects at work, it's doing those things, it's finishing your schoolwork, it's all the things that are urgent. Those are the things that are really, really critical, we think. But one of the privileges of being a pastor for the length of time I've been a pastor is I've had the opportunity to watch a lot of people die. You may not think that's a privilege, but it really is. Because you hear what's important to them at the last moments of their life. And you know, I had this opportunity. I've never heard anybody say, you know, I just should have spent more time on the job. I should have spent more time at work. You know, what I really should have done is do more email or whatever it may be. No, they never say that. But what do they say? You know, I wish I'd have spent more time with my kids or my husband or my wife. I'd have shut work down and gone on vacation. I wish I'd have taken better care of myself. I wish. See, these are the important things. And I would suggest that family connect time is one of those critically important things in your life. But it's never going to beg for your time because it's not urgent. But I want you to appreciate that your own health is dependent. Your own wholeness is dependent on you taking some family connect time. And if you don't take it, you're going to hurt yourself as well as those people in your family. You know, when we fail to take time, family connect time with our spouse, let me back up. When you fail to take family connect time with yourself, something in your soul begins to die. And when you fail to take family connect time with your spouse, something in your soul begins to die. And when you fail to take family connect time with your kids, something in your soul begins to die. And their soul begins to die. And when you fail to take family connect time with your grandkids even, something in your soul dies and something in their soul dies. You see, it is families, being able to connect with our families, it's very essential for our own health and our own wholeness, as well as those people's health and wholeness in the family that we're given. And it's interesting to me as I study that because it's so critical, it's so important, it's not urgent. We put it off. And you see, I think the reason we put it off is because family connect time will cost you. That's the second point. It will cost you something, and it will cost you something dearly. You know, why didn't Eli and Samuel and David. Why didn't they take Family Connect time when their kids were growing and when they were old? Why didn't they do that? You know why? It's because they had a lot of other things to do. They had a country to run. They had God's word to tell people. They had all these other things which were critically important. Or so they thought. And they neglected to pay the price. I've got to tell you, if you're going to take time to connect with the members of your family, it's going to take time. It's going to cost you something dearly. Because you can't take family time, family connect time, just on the side. You just can't slip it in as you're doing other kinds of things. It's something that there's something you're going to have to give up. It will cost you dearly. You know, one of the interesting things Mary Kay and I have done, 25 years ago we planted a church in Orlando. And we planted this church, and you know, I mean, obviously, just like Crosspoint is such a critical move of God here in this community, and it's changing people's lives. It is. Many of your lives have been changed forever because of this church. And the same thing was true of the church we started in Orlando. And so there's nothing, I mean, it's really critically important for us to do that. That's really an important thing. But I had to make a decision early in that church plant that, okay, am I willing to continue to connect with my family, even if it hurts the church? What am I willing to sacrifice? You know, like Eli and Samuel, the prophets of God, were they willing to maybe take some time off of their prophetic job to spend time with their family? And so we did that. You know, a lot of times I could have been out at a lot of evenings, a lot more evenings, with meetings and meeting people and recruiting people and doing all the kind of things that are very important. I could have done that instead of putting my kids to bed, being there to eat dinner with them. But I knew that, you know, I needed some family connect time. And for me to spend family connect time with my family meant I was going to make some sacrifices. And I was going to have to give up something. And that's why it's so difficult for most of us. We're simply not willing to give it up. Scripture says, don't exasperate your kids because you take time with them. It says, husbands, love your wives. You know, and it says, love your wives like Christ loved the church, just a few verses before that. And we think, yeah, that means, yeah, I'm just going to, you know, throw my life in, you know, or push my wife out of the way and die in this train. You know, I'll take the hit for the train and save her because I'm going to give my life for her. And not, a few of us are going to have an opportunity to, you know, spare our wives' lives by dying in some heroic act. But all of us, guys, are going to have the opportunity to die daily to our own desires. Sacrifice our own needs daily to serve our wife. That's what that really is talking about. Are you willing to give up? What are you willing to give up for her? It says the same thing about wives. So it will cost you. It'll cost you dearly. In fact, there was a church planter planted the same time we did, and we went into a kind of a conference retreat for other church planters to commiserate with each other, and it was interesting. We met with that planter, and he says this. I remember him saying this. He says, you know I got a family, and they're important, but my family's going to have to wait until I get the church started and planted and healthy. And something in my gut said, that ain't right. That guy today has lost his family, lost the church, he's out of ministry, he's lost everything. The church doesn't even exist. You see, it will cost you dearly. The scripture says, make a decision. And that's the third point, is to have family connect time. It's got to be planned, and it's got to be intentional. You see, most of us think, well, I just live with my family. That's good enough. Well, I would suggest the kind of time we're talking about, the kind of time where you really connect and develop some intimate bonds and emotional ties, happens because you do it intentionally. You know, and for me, and by the way, I know the idea today, we got blended families, and we got, you know, all the, you know, our schedules are crazy, and they're out of control. We don't even have our kids all the time, and they're going back and forth, and I understand that. That's exactly why it has to be planned and it has to be intentional. How did I do it? For me, I had three kids, Jordan, Aaron, and Colin. And so I had to have 3 days, and I'd give them, you know, four, it wasn't a complete day, but 3 to 4 hours once a month. And it was a J day for Jordan, an E day for Aaron, a C day for Colin. And so I had a time. And the interesting thing was, it wasn't that I just took them out and did what I wanted to do. Every month, they got to choose what they wanted to do. And I got to tell you, a lot of times what they wanted to do was not what I wanted to do. But the point wasn't to give me energy, it was to give them energy. It was to pour into them. It was to do what they wanted to do. And you know, I can't even remember all the kinds of things that they chose to do. But the interesting thing is, each of them chose different things. You see, because they're different kids. And you have to understand, what are the needs of each of your children? What gives them energy? And then you have to plan it. You have to put it on the calendar. And you have to say, okay, I'm going to carve out 3 to 4 hours for them. I'm going to carve that time out just for that person. So when I went with Jordan, the J Day was just for Jordan. And he's a reader. And sometimes we wouldn't just sit and would read. But it was me and him together. So you have to plan it. And I'm going to take some family time with my wife, Mary Kay. I had to get the sitter. No, I tried to. I didn't always get the sitter, but I tried. I tried to get the sitter. And you know, so the fact of the matter is, we would go out and would go out to dinner. And we would sit there and sometimes we were exhausted. But it was her time and my time. And again, because it was her time, we ended up going shopping. Not a lot, but we ended up going shopping too, you know. I mean, and the reality was that's what she wanted to do. And she had 3 kids on her hips all the time, and she didn't have time to do all that stuff all the time. So for a lot of times we would go to eat and then we'd go out and shop. But again, it was a time of connecting, okay? And it was planned, it was intentional. If you don't make it intentional, if you don't plan it, it's not gonna happen. But the thing to keep in mind is the fourth point is that whenever you spend time, it's to be energy giving to them. Now, interesting principle is you can't give energy to them unless you've got energy. So you have to be sure that you have some family connect time too for yourself. Again, it's not just all giving and giving, but the family gives to each other, okay? And as a husband and a wife, you need to learn how to speak each other's language. And the wife needs to learn what gives the husband energy. Well, sometimes that's obvious, but the thing is, you know, and the wife needs to understand that. And how do I give of myself to give him energy? And that's the cool thing, is that family does it for each other. You begin to connect with each other in some very unique ways. And again, one size doesn't fit all. And the mistake we often make as parents is think that, oh, okay, you know, what I do for my one child will work for another child. But it was really interesting for me is we have to keep in mind as we give time to each other. It brings us to the last point here, is that it is an investment. It is not something that we see an immediate return on. You know, I find it interesting that passage in Ephesians, Paul speaking says, and this is he's speaking specifically this context here, and he says, and this is one of the few commands that comes along with a promise. Keep reading it. It says the promise is that your life would go well, that you'd be whole and healthy, okay? That your life would go well. And what Paul's saying there is if the family really responds in this way throughout their lifetimes, what you'll find is it begins to pay dividends. But you know, any of you who are financial advisors know that you put in investments. If you're going to plan for retirement, you don't start when you're 55. You don't start when you're 60. You start when you're young, and you don't expect your retirement nest egg to be there when you're 30. When you start in your 20s, you realize it's something that's going to pay dividends down the road, and you let those interests accumulate and add up. And it's exactly that way with family connection time. There were many times when Mary Kay and I would go out for dinner, and we were so exhausted, we would just kind of stare at each other and kind of drool. You know, it's like, oh, what are we talking about now? Because we were so exhausted. Other times, we would fight. I know you don't think we ever disagree, but you know, there would be times that we would fight about stuff. And I think this is not worth it. Or we'd go out with my kids, and sometimes they didn't want to go. And we'd still go. And you know, we tend to think that, oh, it's got to always be this eternal bliss thing, everything. It's not that way. But I know that you should continually and consistently spend time in connecting in the ways that you connect with each of your children and your spouse, that long-term you'll see dividends. And it does pay dividends. And it's something that, as I mentioned a moment ago, it never stops. You know, this was personified about 5 years ago. My daughter got married. And I had been that man in her life. I had been, as her father, we have a great relationship. I did all 3 of my children's weddings, but when I pronounced her to her husband, it'll be the first to introduce to you Mr. and Mrs. Aaron Southards. As they turned to walk down that aisle, something ripped in my heart. Because I realized all that family connect time that I had spent with her growing up, I was no longer that man in her life. And that's the way it should be, by the way. That's just one of the pains of growing. But I realized I had laid an investment in her life that would pay dividends down the road. And she walked out, and they began to, and it was a leaving and cleaving that we read in Genesis, you know, the two of them would leave their parents, cleave to one another. And they did that, and they began to build this neat marriage and so forth. It was a couple years ago. They'd been married 5 or 6 years. But a couple years ago, she called me, and they were going to be moving a far distance away. And she said, "Dad, I need an E-Day. I said, "What?" She said, "Yeah, I want to go out to dinner. I want just you and me to go out to dinner." And it was kind of touching because, I mean, she didn't invite her husband. It was just neat. The two of us went out to dinner. And I realized, you know, family connect time never ends. And I had seen it written off that I didn't need to spend time anymore in her life because she had a husband. That's not true. It never ends. But you see, I'm now experiencing dividends. Why she wanted to spend time with me and why she still calls me at times to talk with me is because of what we did early in life. No matter where you are, for your own soul, you need family connect time. Now you understand why at 57 I went with my 26-year-old to skydive. You know, I could have very easily said, "Colin, you don't need me. You go do it." No, he wanted a shared memory with his dad. We're at all stages of life here. Some of you are grandparents. Some of you are parents. Some of you aren't married. Some of you don't have kids. Let me tell you, if you want your soul to be whole and be healthy, if you want to experience life like Jesus Christ wants you to experience in an intimate relationship with him, it begins by being in an intimate relationship with your family. Even if you're not married, what are you doing with some of your siblings and your parents? Do you know how your parents connect? How about your siblings connect? Do you know how to connect with them? Are you willing to do that? It's not just for them. It is for them, because surely it fills the void in their soul. But it's also for you. And that you'll be who God wants you to be. You'll grow up in that walk with him as you learn to connect in a healthy, holy way with people around you and your family. It's essential for your own wholeness and your health. It's essential for everyone else in your family for their health and wholeness. It'll cost you. I guarantee you, to spend time with your family means you're going to give up something. Maybe your career or something, and maybe, I don't know what it is. It will cost you something. Because we simply don't have time to do everything we want to do. It's intentional. It's planned. Whatever it is, however you plan it, it must be energy giving to them. And lastly, it will pay dividends. It may not feel like it right away. This is not a short-term fix. This isn't something you start this week and give it up a year from now. This is the rest of your life. This is for the rest of the cruise. But when you get to be my age or older, you do experience the dividends. And there's a smile in your heart, and it's the wholeness of your soul because of what you've been paying your lifetime. Let's stand and take a moment in prayer. Bow your heads. Lord, you love us. And, you know, you just so have designed our lives in the context of these families to be life-giving to each other. But that doesn't happen by accident. And in this society we live in, which is such a fast-paced society, and there's everything's instant this and instant that and driving this. But it isn't like that. It isn't like that with our families. So I pray you'll give us wisdom today to make some decisions, draw a line in the sand, to make some decisions that we need to do some things differently. That we'll never give up either. That we'll never give up what it means to take time with each other. Spirit, speak to us. Move this morning.